London Calling. David here. David here with Richard. Richard the Beatles guy. Richard the London Walks guide for something like 30 years. Richard, who's got a new book on the Beatles coming out. Hello, Richard.
Hello, David. Hi, how are you?
Yeah, all right, all right. So let's talk about this book. What's it called, first of all?
Okay, it's called The Beatles Fab Four Cities. The Beatles in Liverpool, Hamburg, London, and New York.
And, Richard, what was the genesis of the book? Where did the idea come from?
It's been in around a while. I do gossy Beatles tours in London, and I've got friends who do Beatles tours in Liverpool and New York. And we were all friends, and we were talking about the sort of Beatles influences on those cities and the city's influences on the Beatles. And we just had the idea of putting this book together, and we did Hamburg together, basically. A couple of us went to Hamburg a couple of years ago, so we did Hamburg as well. There's lots of similarities between the cities, like all ports for a start, with international sea traffic. In fact, Hamburg and Liverpool on the same line of latitude.
Huh.
There's weird, connections like that. So the book's really about the connections between the cities and why the Beatles went down so well in each place.
Well, that is interesting. Does this mean it's been co-authored by you and several other Beatles guides then?
Yeah, it's a guy in Liverpool, David Bedford, and a guide in New York, Susan Ryan, and we're all tour guides in the cities. So I've known David and Susan for a long, long time.
Right, and what about Hamburg then?
Hamburg we did together.
You did together, right.
Me and David went to Hamburg 2 or 3 years ago now.
Uh-huh.
We were shown around by various people in Hamburg. We met various people as well.
Uh-huh. Who's publishing it?
It's ACC Books. So it's quite big. It's going to be international.
Uh-huh. What's the publication date?
October the 11th in the UK.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a bit later in the US, I think.
Uh-huh.
But it's already on Amazon.
It's out on Amazon already, is it?
It is, yeah, pre-order.
And is it going to be on Kindle?
I'm not sure at the moment. That's what's being talked about. But I will be selling copies of myself through my website, obviously on the tours as well. So it's going to be a big thing, I hope.
And so what's the sequence of it? What, you start with Liverpool and then is it on to Hamburg and then London and then New York? Did I get the order right, Rich?
It is exactly the right order, yes, David. That's exactly how the Beatles did it. They conquered Liverpool, then went to Hamburg, then to London, where it became sort of national, and then to New York and did the Ed Sullivan Show and became sort of international.
Uh-huh.
That's how they did it, basically. And in a very short time when you think about it.
And what is it sort of four long chapters, then one chapter per city?
It is, yes, very much so.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And what's the organizational principle for each of those chapters? Is it chronological, or how does that work?
It's partly, there's a timeline at the start of each chapter, but then it's in terms of the places. It's like concert venues, homes, recording studios and stuff like that, in terms of what's in each city.
Uh-huh.
And sort of the connections as well, there's some weird connections, like when the Beatles were going to Sweden in 1963. I just come back from Sweden, and all the Beatles fans were at Heathrow Airport, bringing the airport to a standstill. Just so happened that one of the planes delayed was going to New York, and on that plane was Ed Sullivan.
Huh.
He was scouting artists for his TV show.
Uh-huh.
Got caught by Beatlemania, was delayed. And he asked asked someone on the plane what the problem was, and someone said, "Oh, it's the Beatles." And he said, "Who's the Beatles?" He hadn't heard of them yet. But just a few weeks later, Brian Epstein went to America, because the Beatles' manager, to try and get the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show, because Ed Sullivan had seen Beatlemania firsthand. I'm on the Ed Sullivan Show.
And sorry, Rich, what city was it he'd seen it firsthand in?
In London. In London. He was Heathrow.
He was at Heathrow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
With all these weird connections, if it hadn't been delayed, maybe he wouldn't have put the Beatles onto the Ed Sullivan Show. Uh-huh. Who knows?
And was that was really the takeoff thing when it was on the Ed Sullivan Show, was it?
Exactly. That's really. I mean, the Ed Sullivan Show is seen by 73 million people in the US.
Uh-huh.
At the time, a record for an entertainment show.
And was that 1963?
That was February 64.
February 64.
Yeah.
And that was the first of how many appearances then?
They only appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show 3-4 times in all.
Uh-huh.
But very influential. I mean, that really started it in America.
So did...
They did a few recorded things, but only live 3 times.
And sorry, what's the name of the person again, the New York person?
Susan Ryan.
And so did you and Susan sort of write that together? Did you bat ideas about and read drafts and making suggestions back and forth?
Yeah, I mean, we had various Zoom meetings and we talked about the cities and the various connections and stuff. And we'd got these connections together.
Huh, how interesting.
Yeah, and there's some kind of, I wouldn't say obscure ones, for instance, like Linda McCartney's family, originally from Russia, Lithuania, as it is now. And they were Jewish, and they had to flee the pogrom against the Jews. And they went through that part of Europe to Hamburg. Well, almost certainly they went through. Hamburg was a big... exit point for people going to either the UK or the US, Jewish migration. And the ended up in, I think it's in Grimsby, I seem to remember, it's Hull or Grimsby. And they either travelled down to London or travelled to Liverpool. Some stayed in Liverpool, but lots went over to New York. That was the Jewish migration. This is the weird thing, because when they arrived in America, they decided to change their name to Eastman. The original family name was Epstein.
Oh, gosh.
Same name as the Beatles' manager. Complete coincidence.
Yeah.
They're not related apart from the in name.
Yeah.
But that's one of these weird things we found out.
That's fun, though. So the research, I mean, there's obviously a ton of secondary material. I mean, we're, you know, how many books have been written on the Beatles now, Richard?
Oh, hundreds, I would
think. Really? Hundreds, yeah.
I think so, yeah.
And the number of articles will run into the hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, and memoirs. But any primary sources? Did you interview anybody?
Yes. Well, over the years, I met lots of people that knew them, Kenny Everett being one. DJ. I met members of the Quarrymen, John Lennon's first band, for instance. Alan Parsons, who came to Alan Parsons, he was a junior engineer on the famous rooftop concert for the Beatles. So I met loads of people that knew them, and I've met 3 of the Beatles as well.
So this interests me. So you, well, I mean, going back, this obviously goes back, you know, 4 decades or something like that. So when you were meeting these people, do you write that stuff up afterward, or I mean, you're not carrying around a little pocket recorder or anything like that?
No, yeah, I mean,
is it going to diary, Rich?
For a while, I had my own fan club magazine. We had the London Beatles fan club. We had our own magazine. And I did quite a few interviews for that. Obviously, recorded the interviews as well as obviously written them up. So quite a bit of the material came from those days. But I just meet people and things stick. I mean, it's actually Paul McCartney that told me part of that story about Linda's family. Which is quite amazing hearing it from him. He said himself, "I married an Epstein."
That's fantastic.
That's fantastic. It's really nice at getting it from first hand.
Yeah. Did you put sometimes authors will put a note in, you know, as told me by whoever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, in the research of this book, I found out there's a place that's been really bugging me for a long time. That the Beatles in December 1961 did a concert in Aldershot, which somehow the guy that's promoting them, Sam Leach, thought was London. Of course, it's not. And they played to 18 people in Aldershot.
18 people, gosh.
Yeah, and then they came to London, and it's the place. I mean, Sam Leach, the guy who did it, he remembers they went to this place called the Blue Gardenia Club.
Uh huh.
And which in Soho, and there's been no written record at all where this place was.
Uh huh.
But I've done some research. I mean, I've been trying to find this place for God knows how long. But I put it in my original book, Guide to the Beatles London, and was running the Beatles coffee shop in St. John's Wood, and a lady came in and said, I used to go to the Blue Gardenia Club. Yeah. I thought, what? So she told me it was in Wardour Mews.
Uh-huh.
Soho. And it was an illegal drinking club, so of course it didn't register with any local authorities or anything.
And thus no paper trail, no documentation.
Exactly. But then I did a bit more research, and I found out it was this Soho gangster. It's going to think it's Harry Bidney, I think his name was, that ran the place. And it reminded me of the clubs in Hamburg. It's kind of rough. So apparently, someone tried to get in, refused entry. So he put a bomb by the door and blew the door down to get into the club.
Oh God!
So I just thought, wow, what a story. But I mean, we think after the, they got extremely drunk in Aldershot, came into London, came to this place. There's a guy who they knew from Liverpool called Brian Cassar, mm-hmm. who has something to do with this club. And that's why they went there. Mm-hmm. And apparently at least two of the Beatles got on stage and played with the house bands. It's the first time at least some of the Beatles played in London.
Oh, that's interesting. And that was in Wardour Mews. Do you take people there on the walk?
Yeah. Yes.
And so you know exactly which door it was then.
I'm not absolutely sure. It's still a little bit fuzzy.
Yeah.
To say the least.
Yeah.
I'm trying to narrow it down, but I've had two people now at least saying Wardour Mews.
Yeah. Yeah.
As the location.
And about how many people do you think could the place accommodate?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah.
It's still very fuzzy. I'm still trying to find out more.
And I mean, they didn't take their instruments in there, did they? I mean, Ringo didn't take his drums
possibly,
in.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly had them with them because they just done the gig in Aldershot.
Uh huh. So I see.
Had their own guitars and just took them in, I guess.
And when was this, Rich? When did this happen?
Yeah, well, that was interesting. The date was December the 9th, 1961.
Wow, early days.
Which is pretty much on the anniversary of John Lennon's murder.
Huh, huh.
Because British time, even though it's December the 8th officially in New York, it was like early in the morning, you know, on the 9th UK time.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And these were just, how old were they then? About 20, 21, something
about
like
that? About that, yeah. Yes.
So these were four Liverpool kids in Soho.
Yeah.
And in Aldershot. Was this the first time they'd come to London?
Pretty much, yeah, I think so. I mean, they've been individually before.
Uh-huh.
But they did go, I mean, they came into London just on the way to Hamburg the first time, actually.
Uh-huh.
To pick up some people just opposite the Two Eyes Coffee Bar in Old Compton Street.
Uh-huh.
But never actually played there. They just picked up someone on the way.
Uh-huh.
But that's an interesting story about the Two Eyes. That's how the Beatles got to Hamburg in the first place.
Go on.
There was this guy that called Bruno Koschmider, who ran loads of clubs in Hamburg. And he wanted to find some rock and roll because it was run saying it's a red light district. It's running all these strip joints and stuff. Mm-hmm. Wanted some rock and roll. Came to the Two Eyes, and he discovered a guy called Tony Sheridan, who he took to Hamburg with amongst others. He became a big star in Hamburg.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came back to the Two Eyes, and he just happened to be a group from Liverpool called Derry and the Seniors in the club that night with their manager Alan Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to Hamburg, and then he wanted another group, and Alan Williams' other group was the Beatles. So they went to Hamburg, back to Tony Sheridan on the song My Bonnie.
Uh-huh.
Someone went into Brian Epstein's record store in Liverpool, NEMS, to ask for a copy of My Bonnie.
Uh-huh.
And Brian Epstein went to the Cavern Club, which is literally a few hundred yards from his shop, to see the Beatles.
Uh-huh.
Was mesmerised by them, became their manager. There's all these connections.
Extraordinary. You know more about the Beatles than anybody on God's green earth. But
I don't know about that. But
did you find out stuff? Did you learn some stuff from this project? You find out stuff that you didn't know before?
Yeah, well, I suppose it focused on the connections between the cities, and how connected they were, and all these weird coincidences and things. I suppose is the thing I just focused on that really. The Blue Gardenia stuff I didn't know until this project, and that was one of the interesting things. But this place, the Two Eyes Coffee Bar, and the Beatles never played there. Uh-huh. It's all these weird things, because another one, for instance, is they did an episode of 6-5 Special there, which was the first British rock and roll TV show. And all it's done in a studio. But that evening it was done from the Two Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a coffee bar with rock and roll. There was a family in Liverpool, the Best family from Hayman's Green, Liverpool, who saw the show and thought, coffee, rock and roll. They had a big basement in their house, decided to open a club called the Casbah Club.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first band that was supposed to be playing there were called the Les Stewart Quartet.
Mm-hmm.
And but the night before the gig, the group broke up. But a certain George Harrison was a member of the band.
Uh-huh.
And he had been playing with the Quarrymen, with John Lennon and Paul McCartney, but they had become dormant, the Quarrymen. This club was due to open the next night. So George Harrison rang up John Lennon and Paul McCartney and said, can you help me out? Can you come and play at the Casbah Club? So the Quarrymen got reformed and played the first night to the Casbah Club.
Uh-huh.
It was really the first place they played together on a regular basis.
Uh-huh.
And it was the lady called Mona, who was the ran the club, but her son was Pete Best, who became the Beatles' drummer.
Sure. Yeah, that's
always weird things. It wasn't for the Two Eyes hosting 6-5 Special, no Casbah Club, and you could say no Beatles.
Yeah, that's extraordinary. Yeah, yeah. Are the three of you, you know, are you loosely in touch? Do you?
Yes, we are. Yes,
you know, once or twice a week, something like that. What, do you Zoom or just email?
Well,
yeah,
we have. Obviously, we've been doing the book. We've been in contact quite a bit. Yes.
Uh huh.
Especially during lockdown, I think we've all been. Actually, we've been doing sort of virtual tours occasionally.
Uh huh. And does the book have an editor?
I mean, a friend of ours called Simon Weissman.
Uh huh.
He's actually a filmmaker as well as an author himself.
Right.
So he kind of is our agent in a way.
Uh-huh.
but we had an editor from ATC as well.
Yeah, I see. And just practical matters, Richard, as a writer, as an author, do you set yourself a certain number of words? You know, Graham Greene, I think, used to write 750 words a day. Do you work in the morning? How does it, you know, what's your work pattern?
Not really. I don't really have one, to be honest.
Right.
I mean, because I've been so concentrating on guiding for such a long time. I mean, the first book I did, Guides the Beatles London, is kind of the notes I had for the tour, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
It was just putting them in book form. Uh-huh. So I had it most of it written down anyway.
Uh-huh.
Just putting it in book form. And this one was similar, actually.
Yeah.
In that way.
Is that still in print, that first one, Rich?
Sorry?
Is it still in print, the first one?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, yeah.
And it's called Guide to Beatles London.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it's only available in a couple of places.
Yeah. So this is going to be your second book on the Beatles, is that right then?
It is.
Is there a third one in there somewhere?
Yeah.
Trying to get out?
What I would like to do, actually, is a much bigger book on the Beatles London as a narrative. A tour guide, as it were.
Uh-huh.
Because I think there is a lot of scope in that. Again, putting all the influences and stuff.
Uh-huh.
It's at the time of swinging London, and all the music and fashion, art.
Sure,
and
sure.
Everything that's going on. Really putting that into context.
Uh-huh, very good.
I think that's been the next book project, I hope.
And Rich, what about illustrations for this new book then?
Yeah,
visuals.
I mean, luckily, a lot of it is pictures of the places, but uh-huh. I got a few good photographs. I had a good friend who used to go around all the Beatles' homes in the 60s and took loads of pictures of them at their homes. Uh-huh. So those photos are going to be in the book.
Uh-huh.
And we've had to source a few from, you know, various agencies and whatever.
What was the hardest part to write?
Actually, it was cutting it. I had about 10 times more material than we're going to use in
really?
The book.
Really? Yeah.
It's like what to keep and what to take. Uh-huh. Because we're doing sort of the four cities together.
Uh-huh.
It was what to leave out, basically. That was the hardest thing.
Yeah.
making sure you got all the connections, and that became the focus of the book, is the connections
uh-huh.
between the cities.
And how about, what was the easiest part? What came easiest?
I don't know, really. I tell all these stories on the tours anyway, so, uh-huh. you know, these stories I'm used to. So, I wouldn't say that probably the easiest part is, the stories of the major places, like obviously Abbey Road, 3 Savile Row, did the famous rooftop concert, for instance.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's all that. Of course, there's a relevance at the moment because there's so much going on in the Beatles world, because they're bringing out the what's going to be on Disney Plus called Get Back, which is, there's about 60 hours of film footage from the sessions at Twickenham Film Studios and Savile Row,
uh-huh.
which was playing the film Let It Be. But they kept all this footage, and it's all been given to Peter Jackson,
uh-huh.
who did, obviously, Lord of the Rings. It's going to be on Disney Plus over the Thanksgiving weekend in America. It's going to be 3 2-hour episodes of this footage.
Uh-huh.
This is going to be mega. And they're bringing out the CD on October the 15th.
Uh-huh.
So 4 days after the book comes out.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah.
So there's a lot going on, yeah.
Did the music help, Richard? When you were writing the Hamburg stuff, were you listening to the music that they were playing then?
Yes, in a way, because in those days they were raw rock and roll covers band.
Sorry, what? Explain that to me. What's that? A raw rock and roll?
They weren't doing their own songs, pretty much. They were doing cover versions. They were doing Little Richard, Jerry Lewis, that sort of stuff. Elvis. Uh-huh. You know, they're basically like a dance band, really. But they're playing in the notorious Reeper Barn area, the Red Light District, and all of their audience were the prostitutes and pimps, the gangsters, loads of gangsters around in those days. In Hamburg. And it's all the sailors from the port, you know, uh-huh. there's a lot of American GIs and sailors around. So it was very rough and ready. And that to make a real din to be heard in this, because there's regular uh-huh. fights in these clubs, and that the apparently the staff were really bruisers, kind of some of them probably ex-Nazis or something. I don't know. It was really rough and ready, and they're playing like 6 hours a night, 7 days a week.
Some of those people will be pink-cheeked little old men, little old grandpas now.
Yeah, I know.
I wonder if any of them remember who they were watching.
But Hamburg was really rough.
Yeah, yeah.
And as John Lennon once said, I was born in Liverpool, but I grew up in Hamburg, both musically and otherwise.
Huh.
So in their sort of late teens, away from home for the first time, the notorious Red Light District.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing led to another, shall we say.
Did your co-authors help you with the Hamburg bit then? Did you all three have a hand in that one?
It's me and David. We both went to Hamburg about 3 years ago now.
Uh-huh.
And we met up with some German friends who obviously knew. We had... We're hoping to meet a guy called Horst Fascher, who was one of the club people. But fortunately, he was too ill. But we had a good phone conversation.
Yeah.
With him. But I met Tony Sheridan. In fact, Tony Sheridan's been on my tours in London.
He
stayed in Germany. He became a big star in Germany, and he came on my tour quite a few years ago now.
Richard, is there any way we, as London Walks, can help those two out with their? You know, their tours in Liverpool and in New York.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Yeah,
we could link. And
yes,
what about the next time you talk to them? Why don't you say David was asking You know, what about them doing a virtual tour? I mean, you know, after all, we're carrying Paris Walks now, virtual tours, on walks.com.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be fun. And, you know, maybe we could even work out something where the three of you going together one night.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, we're certainly going to do lots of podcasts and things together for the book. So, yeah, we can definitely do a London Walks virtual tour. I'm sure we can, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, I'm sure we can.
Okay, well, I'm looking at the time now. We've gone on for 25 minutes, so, which is pretty much the longest podcast we've done for a while. So I think I'll thank you and say goodnight. And, you know, what's the publication date again?
October the 11th.
October the 11th. So maybe we can have another one of these sessions a couple days before.
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
When will I be able to get my hands on a copy? Is it going to be October 11th?
I don't know. Hopefully I'll get some advance copies. I don't know yet.
So yeah.
I'm having a talk with the PR person in the next few days. So,
but you can pre-order it now on Amazon. Is that right then?
Yes, it is. It's already on Amazon.
Yeah. And the title again?
It's The Beatles Fab Four Cities, Liverpool, Hamburg, London and New York.
Right. And all three authors' names are on the spine. Is that right?
They are. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Great, Rich. All right. Well, thanks very much. And
thank you.
Talk soon.
Okay, we'll do.
Thanks. Okay. All best.
Okay, all right.
Cheers. Thanks a lot, Rich.